Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Brenda Fraser calling in from Detroit, Michigan. We're on the road this week and want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving and really encourage everyone to make their daily gratitude list just part of your daily living, that we should have that gratitude that we have at Thanksgiving every day throughout the year. And my guest today is someone that lives with a spiritual intention. She lives with gratitude. She's had an amazing story of transformation, and we are going to be entertained by her through words and through song. You just heard a small clip of a song called Life's Too Short by Stephanie Urbina Jones. I hope I'm saying that right. And she's calling in from Nashville, I believe. Stephanie, are you with us?
I'm here on the phone. Good morning. How are you, Brenda?
I'm fine. Thank you so much. Are you in Nashville this week or Texas?
I'm actually back home in Nashville after traveling a lot. Gratefully so.
Well, it's great to catch up with you. Just to give my audience a little background, I initially heard Stephanie perform in Nashville at the Center for Spiritual Living there. Was blown away. Her talent was way bigger than the setting she was in, and I just recognized her as one of the top talents in the country and was so thrilled to accidentally be in that audience that day and invited her to come up and perform in St. Louis, which she did earlier this year, I believe, at our Center for Spiritual Living, and have been following her through her Facebook and through her email postings, because Stephanie is launching her first ever Indiegogo campaign, and we'll be talking about that later in the show. But first, want to just open it up a little bit about your background, Stephanie, as a musician, and how you came into performing and writing. I know you were born in San Antonio, Texas. Tell us a little bit about being raised in an area with, you know, many cultures surrounding you. How did that influence your style later on?
Well, as you mentioned, I was born in San Antonio, Texas, my cultural home, and so I would be hearing country music and pop music, and I would also be hearing music from across the border. And my grandparents were second generation Hispanics, and their stories and their tales just really influenced me and just gave me a great passion for that heritage. So,
and so when did you start, at what age did you start tapping your foot to music and falling in love with music and lyrics?
Well, I mean, as far back as I can remember, I was an only child, and my parents got divorced, and my dad was in Vietnam, and I just remember there was an album called Tapestry by Carole King, and my dad had sent it from Vietnam and made sure it got to me, and I had my little suitcase record player, and I would just go in my bedroom and I would put that Tapestry album on the record player, and I would just rock myself. So as far back as I can remember, music was, you know, my friend and really my solace and my medicine, as far back as I can remember. And truly,
yeah.
That has always... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think Carole King has influenced so many people, and as you say, music being medicine, I mean, her music just soothed a lot of broken hearts and help make sense of a confusing world. I know I grew up in the 70s and 60s and 70s, and Carole King was one of my early favorites, too. And plus, just to see a strong female artist, that must have given you some encouragement as well.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, you know, when I was 4 years old, I can remember I had a vision. Of course, I didn't know what that was, but I saw something of what would be mine to do. And I spent, you know, probably 15, 20 years trying to really resist it and put it down, although I had a natural ability to sing. And I was writing poetry and stuff when I was, you know, 10, 11, 12, just to express myself. I wasn't intending on doing anything. It was just to get it out of me. And everything that has evolved up to this point in time as now a career has been so obviously like a little cosmic breadcrumb along the way that has just, you know, encouraged me to go a certain way, because I really was resistant because of my own childhood. I had, you know, some self-esteem issues and really didn't have the, you know, the strength, inner strength to do what I do now. And truly, you know, because of this spiritual unfolding and this knowing of what was mine to do, it has filled me with a, you know, an inspired passion. And I think that's really where everything comes from for me now.
I think that's so powerful what you said, because so many young girls growing up, whether they're in single family households, I too was raised by a single mom, you know, we don't get many images of positive women role models, especially 20, 30 years ago. Who are some other women, either in TV or entertainment, that influenced you besides Carole King?
Carol Burnett.
Oh, yeah,
I loved her. Yeah, loved her sense of humor. You know, of course, people like Dolly Parton and Loretta Lynn, Oprah, of course. And I think all these people, the thing they have in common, they're just great truth tellers of story that is inspiring us and makes it real and makes it so it's not so, you know, impossible to keep stepping forward, you know. So
when did
you
start on a stage, you know, for money and to be hired out as a band or to perform and be hired by a restaurant or a bar or something?
So I started singing in, of course, in high school, but then I went to college, and I got hired to do this kind of top 40 band. And this one point, we were in front of an audience of like 50,000 people, and I froze. And they had to usher me off the stage, and it was just devastating. And I thought, at that point, I thought, well, this must mean this is not what I'm supposed to do. So I'll just dedicate my life to music, because this is what I believe in, is what is mine to be a part of. And so I worked as a booking agent, I worked at studios, you know, and I was working for a booking agent that booked a jazz room in Austin, Texas, called the Elephant Room. And so I booked myself at a happy hour. And it was as exciting as it was just really painful for me to stand in my own skin, quite uncomfortable. And it just, you know, it took a lot of time, but something inside of me just kept plodding along. And then I moved to Nashville. I was working in the music industry and the business side, management, publicity, and I met the songwriter of the year. And I pitched him an idea called One in a Million. And for whatever reason, it's not even a great idea, he said, I'll write that song with you. And we wrote that song together, and he said at that time, you have it. Whatever that is, you have it. And so, you know, I started writing songs soon after I had a publishing deal and was a professional staff writer at Sony. So that's how I got to that point.
I love it, seeing the popular TV show called Nashville, but there's a character called Scarlett, and there are elements of what you just shared that sound like Scarlett's character. I mean, have you watched that show at all?
Yes, I love it. I love the way they portray the songwriter and artist's life. I feel like it's true to so many aspects of it, because it's this divine thing that happens when you get the download as a writer, and that comes through. It's a very spiritual communion. And the same thing can happen on stage with an audience, you know, and but it's not always that way. And sometimes, because it's so vulnerable and you're so exposed, it can also be, you know, painful and yet cathartic experience.
True. You have to have a good song, you have to be totally authentic and real and vulnerable and dig deep into some deep emotion. And I was so happy to see, you know, this young songwriter, what is it, is his name Sam White, Sam Smith, that just, you know, won some awards because he shared some very deep personal things. And good writing and good entertainment and good art does come from that place. And we channel it, like you say, it's a spiritual place. So what type of spiritual practice do you do to stay connected to a creative source?
Well, from meditating, not consistently, but fairly consistently, I have a practice that I do. I have also, you know, practiced. My husband is a Native American sweat lodge pour and firewalk instructor, and so we constantly are in circles where we're invited into places. And so there's a lot of the Native American traditions and prayers that I bring in. I have a specific thing that I do before I get on any stage to sing, or any phone call, interview, writing session. And I can feel the access. I can feel myself accessing that source energy. I'm also a big proponent of the law of attraction and, you know, just constantly in all kinds of spiritual churches, organizations, friends, 12-step rooms thing where people are openly talking about their connection with their God.
Their higher power. Well, ditto,
their higher power.
Ditto, all of that. Yeah, I love that. And maybe that's what resonated with me when I heard you perform, because, I mean, there's plenty of good talent out in the world, but there's not many people that fuse and aren't afraid to bring their spiritual side in with their music and also can communicate values and principles that can really help us transform ourselves. And I like that on your website and in all your writings that you talk about transformation and some of the things that you've gone through for, you know, transforming a negative experience and not letting it stifle you. That's one of the reasons I wanted you to be on Alive to Thrive, because my whole program features artists, speakers, authors, what have you, from around the country who have overcome incredible odds and have not stopped, have been persistent. And you've been in movies, you've been in TV shows, and I had a chuckle that one of the movies you were in was called Courage, because I think you do, you live that. I mean, you live that principle of displaying courage in the face of challenges, and that you demonstrate that people can overcome anything in life. And so what are some of the challenges you've had in life, either early on or later in life, that you've had to overcome and transform them from what would be labeled a negative experience into something that was a learning experience?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, early on from age 4, and I have a better understanding of this now as an adult looking back, it was my first, when I lost my father, my parents were divorced, and my dad was in Vietnam, and I didn't grow up knowing him, and I had someone very close to me, my grandfather, die at 4, and I can remember that sense. It was my first idealization with suicide. And I wouldn't have those words for it, but I just knew that I didn't want to be here anymore. It hurt too bad. And so I can see at that point in my life, I started finding ways to escape. Thankfully, music was probably the first way that I escaped, and so, you know, that just leads to a long life after of at some point where those things just don't work. And so, you know, I didn't make great decisions in relationships along the way. I did marry, so my first marriage was, I married him. He was a really an amazing person, and because there were things that I didn't get met in my own childhood, I sought that in him and in our marriage. And, of course, that didn't work, and it went down in a blaze, and it was truly one of the hardest legal divorces, you know, and that I've ever known anybody experiencing. And I, you know, I just remember waking up in that, what it was a, you know, a nightmare at the time. Just couldn't believe that I was here. And it was so confusing being a spiritual person and the vows that I'd made and just walking through that. And of course, you know, through all my high school years and early 20s, when things would get tough, I would, you know, one of my thoughts was I'd want to check out of this life. And so I've walked with that. And after I had my daughter, that really was not a possibility for me anymore. I just made a conscious decision, well, you can't even go there, and I was able to honor that. But I would just say that, you know, once I got a taste of freedom, pursued it voraciously. I mean, you can call it courage, and sure, it is courage to have to go into those painful places and recover pieces of yourself. But the result on the other side, the transformation and the personal freedom, the joy, the laughter that I live with now, the sense of purpose and passion, it's all worth it.
I love
and it. Yeah.
And speaking of purpose, one of the things I noticed in your bio and on your website is that you have given back to many organizations, and that's one of my, you know, parts of my life too, is to give back to various nonprofits. And you've been a volunteer with CASA and with making PSAs to give kids a voice. Can you talk a little bit about that and the various charities you've helped?
Well, yes. I mean, again, of course, any time that there is a way that my presence, my music can help, I want to. And CASA just really spoke to me. I met with them, and CASA is court-appointed special advocates. And when kids are, you know, sent to the court system and they don't have any place to go into foster care, those foster parents don't necessarily know how to meet the needs of those children, and also to help them walk through what is in their best interest in the court system. So it's a really important piece in getting these kids' needs met as they find their new home or get back to their parents. So what I would do is I would have my concerts, and I would have little things about CASA on every table. And throughout the concert, at different poignant moments, I would share about what they were trying to do, just to see if it, you know, if anybody's heart was moved to sign up to be a CASA advocate. And I don't know, I know that we had well over, just in a couple of months, well over 100 CASA advocates. And each of those CASA advocates then, you know, they usually take on several children. So I was very passionate about them, still am. And every Christmas I go into, you know, places where people can't actually get out, whether it's a children's hospital or a nursing home or a homeless shelter or a veteran's home. You know, I just, you know, I share spirit and song and hopefully give them a piece of that Christmas magic that we all get a chance to feel in the season.
Awesome. And we'll be talking about some of your Christmas music and playing some of that, sharing that with my audience later in the program, and how people can get your Christmas CD and share that music with their friends and family. And you know, I just love to showcase these stories about how entrepreneurs, businesses, and artists can give back through different things that are very simple, like putting out an information table. That's brilliant. And then that's a way to introduce that to new people that might volunteer. It's always surprising to me how many people are not aware of some of the things in their own community and ways to get involved. And even things like I had read that you had made some PSAs for the American Diabetes Association in Spanish. And I thought that was really neat, too, that using your language skills to get the message out to diverse audiences that need to get this health information so importantly.
It's why we're here. And, you know, people say, and I think this is interesting, of course, it's something I want to do, I feel called to do, I feel passionate. But the truth is, and I think we all know this, when we give, we truly receive. Then it just fills your heart and your sense of your being. It's like you feel like, oh, this is why I'm here. This feels good.
Mm-hmm. And one of the ways of giving and sharing is through storytelling. And you're a great storyteller and through song and certainly through your poetry and writing, and that's where it all begins. But was there someone in your life that taught you some of the finer points of good storytelling, or now do you just write from that place that's inspired? Can you talk a little bit about your process in writing and sharing stories?
Yeah, and I would have to say that probably the writer that has inspired me the most is my co-writer on most of my material. His name is Mark Marchetti, and he's a Vietnam veteran flower farmer, and he's just very, I can remember he's the first person that I played a song to that he said, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't feel it. And that just is just a moment in time that it totally referenced everything. And so, you know, we get together when I write with him, and sometimes we'll have days where we're just drinking coffee or going to lunch and we're just talking about life. Usually we're talking about spiritual things. And then at some point, an idea will land or will come through the resurrection of my heart. And then we stop, and you just, like, you know, you have that sense, like, we've really hit something within both of us, and then we write it. And, or, you know, when I was going through my divorce, and I was just devastated. I had, you know, my soon-to-be ex's father, who was like a father to me, died, and I was just devastated, and we wrote Prayer in the Dark, which I'll be recording on this new project. And so it's almost always a spiritual experience. When my grandmother died, she was getting ready to die, and we downloaded this song called La Reina de los Angeles, the Queen of the Angels. It came in 3 minutes.
Mm.
So,
oh my goodness, I can't wait to hear that one. So tell us a little bit about this song called Rose in the Wreckage. The title of that really caught my eye, having survived a near fatal car crash myself. But
oh, wow.
Tell me a little bit about that song and the lyrics and what place that comes from.
Well, it's the first verses. Well, it's hard to see the sun when you're face down in the hurt, when all your hopes and dreams are buried in the dirt, when you're standing alone, stranded in the dark, or you find out just how strong you really are. When you've been shattered like a window pane, battered by the wind and rain, scattered all around, pieces on the ground, though you never in your broken dreams expected to be blooming like a rose in the wreckage. And, you know, again, I wrote that during the hardest time of my adult life, when my marriage was coming to an end, when my husband asked me for a divorce, when I begged him to stay and he knew better and walked away, and the dream of a family that I never had as a child was coming apart. It brought up every grief from my childhood, and I was lost. And at some point, you know, I was downloading these songs that would be my future. They were like little cosmic crumbs, like I said, saying, keep going, because it's going to get better. And it did.
Wow. It's like one of my favorite sayings, this too shall pass. And no matter what we go through in life, if people feel stuck, you know, to say to themselves, this too shall pass, and things will change, and there will be a rainbow after the storm. Well, we need to take a short break, so we're going to play part of this song called Rose in the Wreckage. And then we'll have a couple of PSAs, a station identification. If you're listening, wherever you are, please stay with us. We're going to be continuing our conversation with Stephanie Urbina Jones, calling in from Nashville, Tennessee, where she is one of the top country music artists, and she's also probably going to be the first Hispanic American female to break through as a country music artist and will be known nationally. She's known pretty widely now, so stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser, each Friday at 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern.
When you're face down in the hurt, when all your hopes and dreams are buried in the dirt, when you're standing alone, stranded in the dark, you find out just how strong you really are when you've been shattered.
Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices. Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
Have you heard of Modere yet? Modere is a new online retail brand for today's modern shopper. We bring stylish, safe, exclusive products for everyday living. At Modere, things are different. We hold ourselves to a higher standard of being modern, accessible, and ahead of the curve. Modere offers ultra-premium products such as hair care, skin care, and household essentials at crazy affordable prices. Most importantly, Modere's products are safe and non-toxic. In fact, Modere makes some of the safest and most effective clean label products on the market today. With free shipping on most orders, a 30-day money-back guarantee on all products, and huge discounts for repeat customers, trying Modere truly is a win-win. Go to Modere.com right now. That's M-O-D-E-R-E.com. Again, that's M-O-D-E-R-E.com. And use the promo code THRIVE for savings up to $25 off your first order. Again, it's Modere.com, and use the promo code THRIVE. You'll love the free shipping and the big savings off all the products you desire for a modern life. Modere, we are stylish, safe, smart.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser on GGM. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. We listened to a short clip called The Rose in the Wreckage. We're talking with Stephanie Urbina Jones. She's calling in from Nashville, and I'm calling in from Detroit, Michigan today. Happy holidays, everyone. We have quite a lot more to talk about. Stephanie was the first independent female musician to reach number one on the Texas music chart, and she has gone on to win other awards and has played all over Europe and France at the largest country festival they had there, and in Geneva, Switzerland. She's just amazing talent and is recording a new CD that will be coming out later this year. Stephanie, tell us about when you found out you reached number one on the Texas music chart. What was that like?
It was just amazing. I just, you know, and the song is called Shaking Things Up. It's really a song about, you know, doing your best and being your best and pushing the status quo and, you know, awesome. And, you know, a lot of times things like that are great because they propel your career to the next moment, to the next people to connect, to look at what you're doing and, you know, things have just continued to grow since that moment in time.
That's so neat. And that song, for people that want to hear it and see you perform it, is on a YouTube posting. And I do want to encourage people to check out YouTube and type in your name and also your website. Want to make sure people know that it's Stephanie, S-T-E-P-H-A-N-I-E, U-R-B-I-N-A, Jones.com. And she's got links there to her Facebook page and her Twitter page and her YouTube channel. So a lot of good information there. So make sure to check things out online and like her page and things. And so you were also the first female to sign to the Latin division of Gibson Guitars, an incredible brand, been around for a long time, a really respected brand. How did they find you, or vice versa? How did you get connected with Gibson?
Well, the Latin division, the guy that runs that or is in charge of that lives in San Antonio, and he heard me, and he understood what I was trying to do, that I was trying to, you know, as of this, to this time, mostly things are either in English or they're in Spanish. And there's a real division. And in country music, there's never been an artist that kind of brought that passion, that influence of heritage through that genre. And so that's really, as an artist, that has always been at the forefront of my intention. So he saw me, and he recognized that what I was going to do, and said, we need to sign you up. And, you know, we're going to do this on the Latin division because we're going to make a point of saying you're Latina.
That's neat. And what kind of guitar do you have? Do you have a Gibson? Do you have more than one guitar?
I actually have three. I play a Spanish guitar. I was always influenced by Willie Nelson, so I like the nylon string. And the best they had in that line was through Epiphone, which is another brand of theirs. So they gave me three acoustic Epiphones so I can go out like as a mariachi trio with my songs, and also a bass. Carry along and do live, you know, things acoustically.
Neat. Now, some artists are getting sponsored by various companies that the companies are, you know, a good match for their audience base as well. Mm-hmm. And you're sponsored by a salsa company called Arriba Salsa. Tell us a little bit about that sponsorship. Do you play at various festivals and represent that brand, or how does that work?
Absolutely. When I came out of my divorce and I put out this fun album called The Texicana Sessions to celebrate my Hispanic roots, they got behind that album. You know, as an independent artist, sometimes it's hard to connect those dots. How do I get this music out? They got behind the radio promotion in Texas, and they got, you know, ordered 1,000 CDs and put their logo on it. I did a radio tour. I had my, you know, car packed as far as you could see with chips and salsa, and, you know, I love the brand. I love the brand, and it's a, you know, it's an American-owned company and family-owned, and I know the owners, and it's an inspiring story. They're Hispanic, and so I just felt passionate about carrying their brand. So
that's so neat. And you've also done some commercial work with Fernandez Honda. Is that a dealership in Texas, or?
Yeah, and it was my first time to do. Yeah, it's my first time to do a commercial, and a commercial in Spanish. So it was a whole lot of fun. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your big project that you've been raising money for. We want to make sure people check out your Indiegogo crowdfunding campaign called Fiery Angel Project. I love the name of that, by the way. And your use of words of, you know, lighting the fire and burning the torch of hope and all that imagery. But this is going to be a 25-song CD collection of your best work to date. That's a very ambitious project. Tell us about the Fiery Angel CD.
Well, the truth is I made a CD called The Fiery Angel. I had the opportunity every artist dreams of. I was on a label. I was discovered by Little Big Town in Sweden. I had the management. I had the label. And we were making this album, and I was going to get the $1 million push. And then I went through the divorce right in the middle of it. And understandably, the label couldn't put me out because that's a $1 million push, and they can't afford to do that with someone who may not be in a place emotionally to carry through. So they pushed it off. That was, again, part of the devastation of the time, because I had worked for 10 years to that moment. And what it did was refocus the songwriting and my songwriting and the songs that I recorded, which became the Fiery Angel Project. And as soon as I was ready to release that album, the label folded. And again, I was just another like devastating moment. And by then I had met my new husband. We weren't married, but he really believed in what I was doing, and he went through my catalog of songs and put together the Texicana sessions, and we put out that record. And so it's been a couple of years that the Fiery Angel Project that I made on that major label is finally clear. I own it. And I decided that I didn't want to just put that album out. I wanted to also put the other songs that I wrote during that really powerful period of time all together. And so I've recorded 11 of them. I'm recording 14 more. They're crowd favorite songs that people literally will, please, please, please record this song, because they can feel it so strongly. So this project is my journey of transformation, and from, you know, truly being in a devastated, you know, hopeless place to a living a life of really joy and passion and purpose on the other side. And I'm just so proud of the songs, and it's got the Latin infusion in the music too, so it's fiery and passionate. And so I'm asking my fans and my friends and all the people out there to come on board as an independent artist. You know, all the fans, friends, and family are our record label. So I really want to get this music out, and I'm asking everybody if they'd come help me build this fire, be a part of the project. You know, you can go to Indiegogo and look up Stephanie Urbina Jones, The Fiery Angel Project. You can follow me on Facebook. One of the things I'm going to start this week is you're going to see little cards that have, you know, pieces of the work that I do and the songs, and you're going to hear clips of the song, like The Rose and the Wreckage, like you just played. And people can get to hear the depth of that music.
That's awesome.
Share it
and
with
the
people.
The power of social media. I mean, I went to Africa recently and raised my funds for that trip. It was a volunteer project. I raised those funds through GoFundMe. So I think you could be very successful with this Indiegogo, and we really want to encourage everyone to share the link to that campaign and talk it up and repost the songs and repost the videos. And Stephanie does have a wonderful video that you can get on her mailing list and get that video and then push that out to your friends, and everybody just telling, you know, 5 to 10 people will get that message out to a wider audience. And then tell us about how they can pre-order, you know, a download of the music or sponsor a song as a Christmas present. That's a really neat thing to give someone a song in their honor. I mean, that is just that's a clever idea.
They were so inspired, the ideas. I just thought, you know, for someone that wants to pre-order the album, you know, a download, you know, it's a $30 donation, a $50 autographed double CD, 25 songs. And then, you know, we've got a stocking that's got, you know, Christmas box in it, and kind of, and then we have, you know, you can sponsor a song and be on the album. You can take credit for bringing this song to the world that's touching so many people's lives, you know, night after night, you know, CD or download after download. And you'll get a plaque with your name on it, thanking you. Of course, you'll be a VIP forever, all my shows. So, you know, just whatever anybody feels inspired to do. Because as of yet, you're hearing my story, but it really hasn't been able to touch people yet, because this music has just been basically in my computer.
Wow. And then with this being the holiday season, rather than getting someone
a sweater they don't need, or electronic, or just something that's just going to sit in the corner of their house and take up a lot of useless space, they can get some Christmas music from you online this weekend on Black Friday or Cyber Monday. But tell us about your Christmas music. We're going to be ending our program in about 20 minutes, but we'll play some of the Christmas music here in a little bit. Tell us about some of your favorite Christmas songs.
Well, you know, this is another, it's an inspired piece of work. I was doing a house concert about 10 years ago for some people, and the host said at the time, I was a beginning artist, he said, wow, it's too bad you don't have a Christmas album, because if you did, I would buy 150 copies. I thought, oh my goodness, 150 copies. I tallied that in my head, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go to sleep tonight, and if I wake up tomorrow morning with a Christmas song, I will make a Christmas record. Well, I woke up the next morning and wrote the first of five songs within 5 days, Christmas songs. And I went, once I recorded this one called One Little Boy that my co-writer and I, Scott Boland, wrote on the side of the road, I knew that this was obviously divine intervention. And so I went in the studio that following week and recorded it in a day. So,
wow.
A lot of people, it's their favorite Christmas album. It's just, it's spirited, it's simple, it's organic, and I think it, you know, it's just it's a sweet little project.
And
a great way
playing,
to be a part of my campaign. Go ahead.
There you go. And when you go out and play in the community to give back, again, you were saying with children's hospitals and nursing homes and veteran administration places, what are some of the songs that they respond to or they request?
Well, anytime I'm going into, whether it's a nursing home or a children's hospital, pretty much then they want to hear songs that they know, that they resonate with. That's the magic of music, you know. And so if I'm going into a situation like that, I'll probably be singing Winter Wonderland or Santa Claus Is Coming to Town or Little Drummer Boy, which are all on my album, too. I have six, in Silent Night, and then I have recorded five that I wrote. So.
Fantastic. And so where are you performing between now and January? Where are you performing between now and the end of the year?
Well, I'm so excited. Tomorrow night I'm playing here in Nashville. It's my Christmas show. I have a women's group that I sing in called Mama's Gotta Sing, and it's just three women, Jonelle Mosser, who is my favorite soul singer of all time and my greatest inspiration here in Nashville, and then Sherry Phillips, who, dear, amazing talent, and me, and we just weave together women's stories and a Christmas show, so that's awesome. That's here in Nashville tomorrow night. Then I go to Texas, and I'm only doing a few shows, and then, you know, probably somewhere between 10 and 20, I call them Spirit of Christmas shows, just like kind of the living Christmas card going into people's, you know, into special places. And that's it, because I'm working on all the getting this campaign, everything ready for the new year. My first single that's going to be coming out is called Bring It Back to the Heartland. It's about reigniting the American spirit and reminding us that we are collectively, you know, powerful people, and that is the immigrant spirit, and it's still alive, and really excited about that. I also have a song I'm going to release in the next couple of weeks called Esperanza, and it's about a woman crossing the border with a baby in her arms by the name of Esperanza, and
wow.
Just a woman's story, just a woman, one woman's story, one mama's story, and if you're a mama, you know you would do whatever it took for your baby.
Wow, that sounds great. And those concert dates are, again, on Stephanie's website. You can go to Stephanie Urbana, U-R-B-I-N-A, Jones, J-O-N-E-S.com, and click on her tour, the tab for the tours, and see the concerts coming up for this year, 2014, and into 2015. And she's also available for private parties and private events and festivals and things. There'll be a big festival next May in Nashville, and I'm going to have to make a point to come down there. My sister lives in Nashville, so I'll have to come down May 9th. Tell us about this East Nashville Chicken Chasin' Hen Hoedown. That's a funny name. Did you create this festival?
I did. This festival is about, can we call it the Mayberry kind of with tattoos? It's the It's the Mayberry of 2014-15 of the new millennium. It's about community. It's celebrating women and mothers, and we have a chicken chase race that we do, which is I've never seen one before. We had a hot hen fashion show that Tiffany, the 80s pop star, was our she was our host for the day, and then we just had an amazing concert of women sharing their stories and songs. So it's going to be bigger than and better this year. We have a flocking team, and we created these little chickens that we flock people's yards with, and we just, you know, give gifts to women we feel have been inspiring so many people in the Nashville area. And so, you know, it's just a really fun and inspiring event.
I have to ask you, I know Nashville's a small town and a lot of music. Have you ever seen a piano player at the Bluebird or at any of the shows down there named Kevin McKendree, McKendree?
I think I have. I think Kevin McKendree plays with a lot of the soul singers that I'm aware of, like Tony Amonama, I think.
Yeah, he's got a recording studio actually in Franklin, and I had him on my program last year. I happened to see him perform at the Bluebird and was just blown away by his talent. But I'm sure the TV show Nashville that we mentioned earlier has really indirectly helped you, your music, and your brand just with the greater attention that's been focused. I mean, I was never really a country music fan per se, but I can honestly say now that I am. I mean, I love your stuff because it's crossover and it ties in so many important messages. But have you seen an uptick in interest since that TV show has been popularized?
I think coming from Texas, there's so many people that are big country fans that I don't know that I've necessarily seen an uptick or not, but I love your point of view, and that I know, too, as a consumer myself, I love the stories that they tell because they're very true to the life of a songwriter and the struggle of, you know, of an artist and some of the decisions and the things that are happening. I love that that show is evolving a lot of important ideas that hadn't quite reached country music, and it's exciting. And I hope that, you know, I've talked to, you know, people that know the producer. I'm said it's time to write in a Latino in this movie, in this show as well. They've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah. Well, and in closing, I want to encourage everyone to check out your store online and look at your Spirit of Christmas gift box. I think that's a really clever package that includes a CD, a candle, and a Christmas card. That makes a really unusual gift for someone. And the music, the Spirit of Christmas CD that we talked about, and other CDs that Stephanie has there. These are just great gifts. They're easy. You can just avoid the long lines at the mall and just go online and buy a CD or buy a T-shirt and support an artist that is really making a difference in the world. And anything in closing that you want to say about your website or what you want fans to know about your music who may not have heard of you before?
I think they've really gotten the spirit of it. I guess if I had to say anything, I think, you know, check me out on my website and follow me on Facebook, because really you're going to be at the forefront of everything that's coming out. So a lot of what you've heard, the heart, the passion, the development of my artist career and service is really, you're going to get a first glance look at it online on my Facebook account. So StephanieUrbinaJones.com, and then go to my Facebook page and come on along.
Come along for the ride and also support the Indiegogo crowdfunding project there, and share those videos and participate in the conversation. And if you have an idea, I'm sure for a song, people can send you some thoughts and feedback, and that you're very open and accessible and to your audience, and you really like that. I mean, you spend really authentic time after your performances with your audience and really connect with them, and I think people remember that, and that's something that not all artists do that. Not all our artists are willing to be fully accessible as you are. So want to thank you for that as well.
Thank you, Brenda.
Any closing thoughts? And we're gonna do a couple of Christmas songs to wrap up the show, and didn't know if you wanted to talk about either one of them, but
we'll be doing one of my favorites, Winter Wonderland, and Here Comes Santa. So any closing thoughts about this holiday season or messages for this world that's hurting so much? I mean, I'm living in St. Louis, and we've been struggling with this whole Ferguson issue and just a lot of racial tension and a lot of pain and hurt. Any thoughts on that situation that you could share with us?
You know, the only thing that comes to mind is that, you know, I truly believe that there's a reason why that all this is happening in this certain season right now. Not only Thanksgiving and Christmas, it brings all the pain even that much more heightened. And any great, you know, change that's happened, you know, from the beginning of time has come with destruction. And in that destruction, we wake up and we see things with new eyes. And it's not, it's painful going through it. But my prayer is that, you know, somehow we evolve collectively from this. And I truly believe it's possible. You know, just on the news, they were showing things. I mean, all the things that we've been through in our country, you know, just in the last 100 years and how we have evolved from those painful situations. And so, you know, I just encourage us all to keep the spirit, go deeper into prayer and gratitude and hold that vibration of love as consistently as we can.
I love it. I love it. That was a great way to wrap up. And I do need to give a shout out also to our friends with an upcoming local festival called Unique Boutique. It's an indie Christmas extravaganza. It's an annual event with local artists and crafters and featuring about 24 artisans. I'll actually be there with our jewelry butterfly and moon design. And there will be other people selling homemade soaps and candles and artwork and glassware, et cetera. And it's Sunday, December 14th at the Syndicate Loft, 915 Olive Street, St. Louis downtown. It's right next door to the Culinaria. And it'll be from 11 to 5, and that's on Sunday, December 14th. So come out and support some local talent or get yourself something handmade and support your local independent businesses and musicians as Stephanie Urbana Jones, our guest today. Thank you again, Stephanie.
Thank you so much for all you do, Brenda.
All right. Well, we'll see you. We'll catch you up and catch you in Nashville the next time we're down there, and we're going to close out
with your
performance of Winter Wonderland.
All right. Feliz Navidad, y'all.
Navidad. That's awesome.
Come on, y'all. Gonna have a good time tonight. Flip out free. All you listening in the lake. Snow is glistening. It's a beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is a bluebird. Here to stay is a new bird. He sings a little song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. In the middle we can build a snowman. Pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid the plan that we made. Walking in a winter wonderland. In the middle we can build a snowman. And pretend that he is Parson Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no way, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on,
You know them angels ain't got nothing on Frosty. Oh, it's a beautiful sight. Let's get down tonight. Better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why, 'cause Santa Claus is a coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is a coming to town. Oh, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows if you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So you better be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I am telling you why, 'cause Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows if you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So you better be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I am telling you why, 'cause